April 29, 1992, an all-white jury acquitted four white Los Angeles police officers in the brutal beating of Rodney King, and then South Los Angeles exploded. Bart Bartholomew is a freelance photographer. The New York Times asked him to document the verdict, and on April 29th, Bart was hanging around the LAPD when they got a call about a looting at Tom's Liquor Store in South Central Los Angeles. Here's what Bart saw when he got there.
They were shouting, "He's one of us, you know, he lives here, don't arrest him, we all know who he is." And in fact, I had put myself in a position to document the first arrest and the first bit of rioting and looting and arson that was really the worst in the history of the United States.
Connie Rice is a civil rights attorney who was working for the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund when those riots started. She says the relationship between the LAPD and the black community began to deteriorate years before that Rodney King verdict.
At the time, the Los Angeles Police Department was viewed by the community, the black community in particular, as a very hostile intimidation force. It was a real hostile relationship, and they made the community feel like a police state.
And the community thought the beating that Rodney King went through would finally change that. They were sadly mistaken.
When the Rodney King beating happened, it was the first time that it had gotten caught on tape. And the black community was, finally, they can see what we're talking about. How in the world do you taser a guy with 50,000 volts and then beat him with 67 strokes of a steel core baton and just keep beating him and beating him and beating him, even though he's on the ground and not presenting any threat?
Earlier this week, Rodney King himself spoke to our co-producer, WNYC.
This was bound to happen eventually, sad to say it, because of you know, the way the police have been treating people over the years.
It's taken almost two decades and another major scandal for the LAPD to finally reform. Connie Rice still works on police brutality issues in Los Angeles, and she says it's been tough, but progress has been made.
We've come quite a ways. We have a ways to go. The riot happened because of decades of police intimidation and racial abuse of the black community. So on two fronts, fixing the police and getting the black community to trust more and work with the police, yes, we've come very far on those things.
Now, the LA riots affected every neighborhood in that extremely diverse city of Los Angeles. Perhaps nobody knows that more than playwright actress Anna Deavere Smith. After the riots, Anna interviewed 300 people from every community in Los Angeles and used those interviews as the basis for her award-winning one-woman show Twilight, Los Angeles 1992. Anna Deavere Smith, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. Let's start with the Rodney King trial itself. Now, to do this show, you talked to so many different people around the city, including some of the jurors who acquitted the LAPD officers caught on tape beating the Rodney King, the spark that led to the riots in 1992. What did they say to you, those jurors?
Well, I talked to two different jurors, one juror in what was called the Simi Valley trial, which was the first trial. And he really talked about, he broke down in the interview talking about how he didn't realize the impact that their verdict was going to have. And then I talked to another juror at what was called the second Rodney King trial, which really a federal trial that President George Bush Senior called for. That trial actually came back with two verdicts as guilty and two not guilty. And that verdict, that particular juror gave me a real rundown of how they came to that verdict and the difficulty of coming to it in what she called their AA meeting, in which, in order to come to a verdict, each person sort of ended up bearing their soul in a very personal way. And it wasn't easy to get to that.
And did you get any regret? You said that the first juror you talked to sort of broke down and said they didn't realize the impact that it would have.
Well, he was still very, very frightened, because the minute that they delivered that jury and were taken outside and put on a bus, the city was already, things were already way, the disenchantment, let's put it that way, was revealed. And so they came outside, and they saw how upset citizens were. And he didn't expect that. I suppose they just were in another world. And, you know, that's part, not just because they were, you know, on a jury, but I think part of what the shock of the what's variously called the riots, the revolution, or the uprising, is that people realized that Los Angeles and this nation are full of so many different perspectives about race. It's as if we are living in separate worlds.
Well, you speaking of different perspectives, you interviewed a stunning sort of array of people who had experiences across the racial spectrum, social spectrum from 1992. Soon Young Han was a Korean liquor store owner whose store was damaged during the riots. You interviewed Reginald Denny, the truck driver who famously, you know, thanks to helicopter cameras, was seen being pulled from a truck and beaten by assailants, I think one with a brick. And you even talked to one of Reginald Denny's assailants who was involved in that incident. I mean, you've sort of dived into a pool of all of the cast of characters. Well, not all of them, but certainly a wide range of cast of characters who were involved in this. It must have made your head spin.
Well, that's what my work is, and by the time I created Twilight Los Angeles, I had already made about 12 or 13 other plays like that, and for a very long time I've been interested in different perspectives and how the world is kind of made up out of different perspectives. So, and my project is Twilight Los Angeles, part of a longer project called On the Road to Search for American Character, my goal being to sort of absorb the country word for word by talking to people in particular who have different views than I have. And so I would say that I found this to be an extraordinarily rich experience, because it's not just that there were different perspectives about the riot, but different perspectives about race, about how people live. I felt like I was sometimes in a foreign country as I went to the many different neighborhoods of Los Angeles to learn what had happened to people.
Anna Deavere Smith, as you transfer these interviews that you did from couch or lazy boy to stage, I'm curious about that process. You were in a way doing some journalism as you talked to Reginald Denny and Rodney King and Reginald Denny's assailants, a person named Kiki Watson. There's some journalism involved in telling their story and all the different stories that had to do with the riots, but also in terms of your acting art. When you get on stage, are you doing impressions, channeling these people, playing them as characters in your one-woman show? You've got African-Americans, Koreans, white people, jurors, victims. You're channeling each of these characters as well.
Well, you know, I call myself a student of expression. And by the way, one of the people who I interviewed and performed was Police Chief Daryl Gates.
We all remember him.
Yes, and when I made a film of Twilight Los Angeles for PBS, I was actually able in that film to conclude with a dinner party. Daryl Gates attended that dinner party at the home of the former commissioner of police, Stanley Sheinbaum, who had fired him, as well as one of the young men whose brothers had been on trial for beating up Reginald Denny. So it was really interesting to me that in this really very, very upsetting time of Los Angeles, there were pockets of moments after it that people were trying to, quote-unquote, come together, even in a situation like that. But to really answer your question, the work that I do is to study how people speak and how people are, and that is sort of what keeps me fascinated, and that's as interesting to me as the different opinions that they may have.
So are you journalist or historian or actress here?
Well, I suppose given the fact that my shows never take a stand and I choose to play 46 characters rather than one, that maybe I also create my own self that way and my own career that way, that there are many different parts of what I do and many different skill sets that are needed to deliver a show. So if there's journalism, there's journalism in as much as I'm trying to find out what the story was. And in this case, there were many stories. I only collected 320 of them. Am I an actress? I study the text the way that an actor does. Am I a writer? I bring together ideas and edit them in a way that a writer does. So, and I come up with an overall idea. So I would say that it's all of those things.
A mixture of all three.
It's kind of a big operation. And I have to say that it is a challenging one and sometimes a very sad one. But on another hand, another way, it's very gratifying because I get to do a lot of different kinds of work that I really love.
Anna Deavere Smith channels, what is it, 46, you said, characters?
Yes, in that play.
46
yeah,
characters in Twilight, Los Angeles, 1992, her one-woman show about the aftermath of the Rodney King trial and the ensuing riots in Los Angeles. Anna Deavere Smith, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For more on that story, including a picture of Anna Deavere Smith playing scholar Cornel West, who's been a guest here on The Takeaway, head to our website at thetakeaway.org. Again, the play is called Twilight, Los Angeles. We thank her for joining us. You can comment on anything you hear on the show at 8778-MY-TAKE. You can keep up with us on Facebook and on Twitter. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.